are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. Said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. When you become a Christian, you are indeed changed, for Christ makes a vast difference in an individual's heart and life, and in the way they live. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the change that you bring into the heart and the life of those who will receive your Son as Savior. And we're praying that thy Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast today, for it would be a joy to us to know that through this instrument you have been able to reach hearts and souls have been saved. So bless this broadcast, bless this precious congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to come your way with the broadcast from week to week, and we do trust that it is proving to be a blessing to you. We appreciate those who take time to let us know that our broadcast is a blessing. We also appreciate those who are making it possible for the broadcast to be aired, and we pray the blessings of the Lord to be upon them. At the close of our broadcast today, we'll be giving you our mailing address, and it would be a joy to us to hear from you and to know that our broadcast is a blessing to you.
Beautiful robes, oh white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining with stars o'er there. Yonder in mansions fair, gather us there.
shining as shining so fair.
Beautiful
mansion bright, gather us there.
Beautiful thoughts to me,
we shall forever be thine in eternity. When from this world we're free, free from this toil and care, heavenly joys to share, let me cross over there. This is my prayer.
Beautiful
robes of white,
beautiful
land of light,
beautiful
home so bright,
beautiful
band of mine,
shining
as shining so fair.
Beautiful
mansion bright, gather us there.
Beautiful
things on high, over in yonder sky, soon I shall leave this shore, counting my treasures o'er, where we shall never die. Carry me by and by, never to sorrow more, heavenly shore.
Beautiful
rows of white,
beautiful
land of light,
beautiful
home so bright,
beautiful
band of mine,
beautiful
crown,
shining
as shining so fair.
Beautiful
mansion bright, gather us there.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the law of the Spirit. And our text of scripture, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul speaks of his experience under the Old Covenant law. He knew what he should do and didn't have the power to do it. He knew what he should not do, but he did not have the power to keep from doing it. So he spoke of his experience as a man who was religious, trying to obey God, but not having the power or the ability to do so. In chapter 8, he speaks of his experience under the law of the Spirit, or the new covenant. So let us look at what Paul said. The old covenant law was not bad or wrong, according to Paul's statement in Romans 7 and 7. He said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Then he goes on in that seventh verse of the seventh chapter of Romans, and he says, I had not known sin but by the law. So the purpose of the old covenant law was to reveal sin. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now the law demanded this and demanded that, but the old covenant law did not have the power to change the heart and the life to enable the person to do what they were supposed to do. It took more than the old covenant law or the letter of the law. And that's why Paul in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The law was good as far as its commands were concerned, but the law revealed sin, but it did not give the power over sin. Paul knew the law. He knew it said, "Thou shalt not," but he was not fully able to keep it. "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Romans 7 and 15. Under the condition, Paul cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And that's verse 24 of Romans 7. Now there was an answer to Paul's cry. The law could not save, but there was a Savior. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he said in Romans 7 and 25, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Romans 8 and 3. In Christ, there is freedom from sin. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Romans 8 and 2. So the results of being in Christ is being set free, being delivered from sin, not only knowing what the law says, the law of Christ says, but having the power to obey it, having the power to carry it out, having the power to live it. Therefore, Paul said in the first verse of Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, there are two experiences taught in the Bible that are very necessary to live the kind of a life that Paul is speaking of here when he talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. First of all is the experience that we commonly refer to as justification or conversion. And that is whenever a sinner comes to Christ confessing and forsaking his sins and asking God to forgive. The Apostle John said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And that is a wonderful and a marvelous experience. It is the new birth. It is being regenerated, being born again. But there is another experience, which many people in the religious world deny, but there is another experience that is necessary for us to live the victorious life that God intended for us to live. And that is the experience commonly referred to in the Scriptures as sanctification. And as I've said different times on the broadcast, I realize there are different meanings to the word sanctification, setting apart, but there is also the purifying, the making pure. And whenever the Holy Spirit comes in, he does indeed purify the heart. He eradicates what is commonly referred to as the depraved nature. And you have the divine nature, and you have an experience that will enable you to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Freedom from sin and freedom from the power of sin. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So Paul said in Romans 8, verses 12 and 13. And remember, when he uses the word flesh here, he's not talking about that flesh on your bones. He's talking about the way of carnality, the way of sin, the way of Satan. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, No one is indebted to live after sin. In fact, no one has God's permission to sin. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And that's the kind of an experience that the Lord Jesus made possible for us when he suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, rose again the third day. He also suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem to sanctify his people with his own blood. And Jesus told the disciples, as recorded in Acts 1:8, after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would receive power, not to do some unseemly thing, no, but to be a true witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. You have power to do what the Word of God teaches to do. Again, Paul in Romans 7, when he was trying to keep the law as a Pharisee, he didn't have the power to do what he knew he should do, and he didn't have the power to keep from doing things he knew he should not do. But in the experience of true justification and sanctification, he had the power. He was able then to live after the law of the Spirit and not after the law of the flesh. Now, being led by the Spirit is very important in living the Christian life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. First of all, let me comment on this thought of sons of God. What a wonderful blessing, what a wonderful privilege it is to be a child of God. I realize there are those in the religious world, one religious organization especially, thinks you're blaspheming when you talk about being a son of God. But that is the experience that Jesus Christ made possible for us when he died upon the cross, shedding his blood. He made it possible for us to become a child of God, a son of God. The Apostle John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Born of God. Naturally, if we're born of God, we're a child of God. And in being born of God and filled with the Spirit of God, then we are to let the Spirit of God lead us and guide us. Jesus said, whenever the Spirit has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. One reason why so many people are still in religious darkness is because they have not allowed the Spirit of God to lead them into the truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, and if the Spirit of God leads you, he will lead you into the truth. And we are to be a vessel, we are to be a temple of the Spirit for the Spirit of God. For Paul told the Corinthian brethren, "You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And he said, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." So our bodies are to be the temple, the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. And it's not just to dwell there, but he is to work in us, to work through us, to lead us, and to guide us. Again, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we have the assurance of being a child of God. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, according to Paul in verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I know there are those in the religious world who say, you can't really know that you are saved, but that is not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And this verse of Scripture, Romans 8 and 16, tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness to our own spirit that we are the children of God. And again I say, what a wonderful wonderful blessing, what a wonderful privilege to be a child of God, to be a part of the family of God, to have the Heavenly Father as our own personal Father, and have Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. What greater blessing could man have in this time world than to be a child of God, a part of the family of God, and being led by the Spirit of God? And remember, when the Spirit leads you, He will lead you right. The Spirit also helps us in other ways. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we read in verse 26 of Romans 8. Yes, the Spirit of God can help us even in our prayer life. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit knows the mind of God. He knows the will of God, and He knows how. And He not only knows how, but He has the ability of making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's why it is so necessary for us to be able to pray in the Spirit. Some people say, and I'm not finding fault. Some people say, well, say a prayer for me. Well, it's not just saying a prayer, but it is communing with God, talking to God. And there again, isn't that a wonderful privilege? Isn't that a wonderful blessing that we have the privilege to talk to God? Well, of course, a child should be able to talk to his father, and our Heavenly Father has made it possible for us to talk to Him. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. And so the Spirit of God helps our infirmities. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And therefore, we need to pray in the Spirit that we be able to see answers to our prayers. I believe in a God who answers prayer for His children. It's not just a matter of saying words and just going through a form. I believe in a God who changes things in answer to His people's prayers. Now, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This is verse 28 of Romans 8. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, this does not say that everything is good. It doesn't say that everything that happens in the world is good. But it does say that God is able to make those things which come our way work out to our good. Yes, God has that power. He has that wisdom. He has that ability. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's verse 31 in Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God has promised us power over all the powers of the enemy. And now let me read from verse 35 of Romans 8. And notice this bond that we have with Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a bond we have with Christ. The law of the Spirit is life. Yes, the law of the Spirit is life. Life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin, is death. And we must choose which way we will take. Whether we will follow after the flesh, the way of death, or whether we will be led by the Spirit, which is the way of life. The law of sin is death. The law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus. And again I say, we must make the choice of which way we will choose. Of course, it is our prayer and our desire that if you are not a true follower of Christ today, that you will become a follower of His, for there is no greater blessing that could come to the human soul than to be a child of God, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, accomplishing the will of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these scriptures and thoughts with this precious people today. We trust the Holy Spirit will be able to use them to make them a blessing to each and to every one of our precious listeners. We pray our Heavenly Father, that if there be any listening to the broadcast today who are unsaved, that the Spirit of God might speak to them and draw them to Christ and to salvation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week, and we do trust that today's broadcast has been a blessing. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, I trust that you'll feel free to send it in. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin and Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide, is our prayer.
Once I would die.